Bears, Bears fans, this is Bears Barroom Radio. I am Aldo Gandia, and today my guest is Danny Shimon, scouting assistant for InsideTheLeague.com, NFL draft columnist for National Football Post, and scouting analyst for us at BearsBarroom.com. Danny has provided us with exclusive scouting reports on Jamal Adams, Solomon Thomas, and Jonathan Allen, and how they could fit into the Bears scheme. You can find those reports on the main page of BearsBarroom.com. Danny, thanks for all your hard work, and thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me, Aldo. It's my pleasure.
And people can find you on Twitter at DSHIMON56. That's correct?
That is correct.
All right.
That's me.
Well, we're very fortunate to have you, and what we're going to do is go through your 7-round mock for the Chicago Bears. This is a great way for us fans to learn who the Bears might be considering in the draft and why. And so we'll go through all 7 picks of your draft. Does that sound cool, Danny?
That sounds awesome. Let's do this.
All right. Well, with the 3rd pick of the 1st round, the Chicago Bears select who?
Jamal Adams, safety, LSU.
LSU's got it. And guess who? Jamal Adams with the recovery for LSU. Well, this guy has all the juice and all the energy. He's the passionate leader of this defense. And Jamal Adams comes
Tell me why you like him, Danny.
Well, Jamal Adams is the top safety on my board. He fulfills a position of need for the Bears. He will provide a physical presence and leadership in the middle of the secondary, something the Bears have not had since 2008 when Mike Brown left the team. He's a sideline and sideline playmaker who delivers explosive hits with terrific timing and anticipation. Aggressive run defender, excels at or near the line of scrimmage, quick to diagnose and locate the football. A 2-year starter, All-American, 26 career starts playing versus some of the top competition in the country. Jamal Adams, to me, is a day one starter for the Bears come the preseason, next season, and then into the regular season. That's why I think if the Bears stay at number 3, I think he will be the pick.
Well, and one of the things that I love about this young man is his leadership skills. I've seen multiple interviews with him, and just the way he carries himself, how he talks about team leadership, how he likes that responsibility. That is one of the reasons that I really love this guy, despite the fact that this is such a deep draft at safety, and you can probably find a starter in round 3. I think that this guy is a must for the Chicago Bears because he's just going to be a leader on and off the field. Don't you agree?
100%. This kid is a football junkie. He has exceptional football character. He is intelligent. His dad was a first-round pick of the New York Giants back in 1985, so he comes from football pedigree. This guy loves the game. He lives and breathes the game, and I think he will be a cornerstone in the Bears secondary, something that John Fox and Vic Fangio can build around.
One of the things I picked up on in one of the scouting reports is that he did not commit a single penalty in his junior year, despite the fact that he plays so aggressive in all phases of the game. So he's clearly a very smart football player.
Very smart. And like I said, he's a team leader. He will take control of the secondary. You saw him on tape, get guys lined up, put players in position. He was the leader of the LSU secondary and that defense in general.
Now, one of the things the Bears desperately need out of that safety position is turnovers. He doesn't have a lot of, I don't have his stats right in front of me, but he doesn't have a lot of turnovers.
Yeah, he has 5 career interceptions, 4 in 2015 and 1 last year, only 14 career pass broken up. But I think that was more a part of this, the way they played him. They had him more up towards the line of scrimmage as opposed to dropping him back into coverage a lot. But from what the sample size, I did see him drop back into coverage. He is able to cover the slot tight end or a slot receiver. He can cover back half of a defense and float, you know, from the hash mark out to the sideline. And so I have no issues with him, you know, as far as going back into coverage, as far as creating turnovers. You know, he created, you know, 2 forced fumbles last year. So this kid is just a football player. The stats sometimes you know, don't tell the whole story, especially depending how they're being utilized in their particular, you know, collegiate program. So I think this kid is a bona fide starter game one, week one next year.
Now, you did mention if the Bears don't trade down. So do you have a gut feel that perhaps Ryan Pace is looking to trade down?
The Bears are looking to trade down. They're trying to accumulate more picks, more so later on in this draft. They're trying to, it's a deep draft in terms of defensive players. So they're trying to stack up there. I also do think the quarterback rumors are true. I think they are in love with a quarterback, and I don't know who. My gut, or my feeling, or my hope is, I should say, it's Deshaun Watson. But you cannot use a third overall pick on Deshaun Watson or any quarterback in this draft, in my opinion. You need that third pick to come in next year and be a starter, and neither one of these quarterbacks will come in next year and be a starter for the Bears. So that third, if they want a Watson, if they want a Trubisky, if they want a Kaiser, they will need to trade down.
I totally, totally agree with you. This, if you're going to use that third overall pick, it has to be a for sure home run pick. And Jamal Adams is exactly that. Now, you did not mention my favorite quarterback in this draft, Patrick Mahomes. Have you had a chance to look at his tape, and what do you think about him?
I'm amazed at the way his stock has just exploded within the last couple of weeks. And at this point of the scouting process, this is where the scouts are now taken out of the room and the coaching staffs are brought into the room. And you can see where coaches, quarterback coaches, offensive coordinators are falling in love with Mahomes' athleticism, mm-hmm. his arm strength. There's no doubt he's a great athlete. There's no doubt he's got probably the strongest arm in the draft. But this kid is not ready to start. He will not be ready to start, in my opinion, for at least 2, possibly 3 years. So the GM that drafts Patrick Mahomes will probably be fired by the time Patrick Mahomes is starting in the NFL. So there's no way you can draft Patrick Mahomes, in my opinion, in the first round, much less in the top 10.
I don't disagree with you at all. I would say if he could sit 2 years, that would be great for him. I think Aaron Rodgers sat his first 2 years, and Mahomes is constantly comparing himself to Aaron Rodgers, or at least saying that that's his favorite player. And Mahomes wants to start right away, he also sees the value of learning the game. So I just love him. And if the Bears were to trade back up into the first round, I know it's important to acquire draft assets, but if they could trade back up into the first round, if Mahomes is available in the teens somewhere, I would love to see him be the backup to Mike Lennon and maybe assume that starting role in 2 or 3 years.
The thing with Mahomes, though, real quick, the thing with Mahomes is he's got to go to a team that's got an established starter, kind of like how Aaron Rodgers went to Green Bay with sure. Brett Favre. If he goes to a team like, say, I don't know, Arizona, or a team like, you know, later on down New Orleans, where he can sit at least a season or two and learn behind a veteran, that might be ideal for Patrick Mahomes. But to go to a team like the Texans or to Chicago, where he's going to be, you know, a highly anticipated, highly motivated to get on the field quickly, you know, I just think that's not something that's made for him to actually have success. That offense has not produced an NFL starting quarterback, that Texas Tech offense. So, no doubt, great athlete, great arm strength. But if you watch his tape, he's playing street ball basically out there in Texas Tech. He's throwing a ball up there, jump balls. I mean, his mechanics are over place, footwork is sloppy. I just don't see him being a first round pick, but he will go in the first round.
Just please don't tell me that he reminds you of Johnny Manziel.
No, he's a better quarterback than Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, good. Thank you very much. All right, those are the chimes. That means that we're due to hear your second round pick, which is the 36th overall pick of the NFL draft. Who do you have the Chicago Bears choosing?
Tyus Bowser, outside linebacker, Houston.
Backpedaling and batted down. There is the freshman, Tyus Bowser. What an athlete he is.
6'3", 33 and a quarter arm length, almost 250 pounds, huge hands, 10 1/8 inch. What do you like about Tyus Bowser, and how do you think he could fit into the Chicago Bears?
Very good athlete. Good lateral agility, foot quickness, smooth in the open field, able to change directions, chase on quarterbacks, running backs, you name it. Flexible hips, can drop back into coverage. He can cover running backs out in the flat. He can carry tight ends down the seam. caught my eye when I was scouting actually his teammate, Stephen Taylor, the linebacker. And this kid was just flying off the edge. He's still not developed fully as a pass rusher. You can still see he's developing a counter game to offset when the blocker thwarts his initial pass rush. But he is a very, very good athlete who's raw but very talented. Basically, when I was looking at him, I was thinking Leonard Floyd, because that was the same thing I was running by Leonard Floyd last year. Talented athlete, good speed, can get after the quarterback, has not developed a pass rush repertoire, is still a developmental project. But Bowser, in only 8 games this year, he only played 8 games, missed 5 games because he got into a fight, broke his orbital bone. We're not going to talk about that right now. But had 8.5 sacks, 12 tackles for a loss, and is a playmaker all over the field for the Houston Cougars.
I read that if you were to extrapolate his numbers out over 13 games, he would have had 80-plus tackles, 20 of them for tackles for a loss, and around 15 sacks and 15 hurries. So this guy is productive.
The only thing is, I'm not even sure he'll be available top of the second round. His stock has increasingly just been skyrocketing since the Senior Bowl. And now you consistently hear his name being bandied about towards the lower half of that first round with teams like Dallas, Pittsburgh. So he might not even make it out of the first round. But if he's available on top of that second round with that 36th overall pick, you've put him, you know, behind right now, you put him behind Pernell McPhee, you know, Leonard Floyd. You get him, you build him, and you start, you know, incorporating him with that pass rush. You're adding another talented, athletic, speed pass rusher off the edge. You put him and Leonard Floyd off of each other, kind of like, I'm not comparing, I'm not saying he's going to turn into these players, but you have like a Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware, guys coming off the edge, something that John Fox is very familiar with back in Denver. That's something that I could see them envisioning creating with Bowser and with Floyd off the edge. So very, very high in this kid. If he makes it, and if the Bears are able to get him, I'd be super excited.
Now, you mentioned that the Cowboys have interest in him, and one of the things that I've read from a couple of scouts, one of them being over at OptimumScouting.com, they project him to be better at a 4-3 defense. What are your thoughts about that? You don't have any doubts at all that he could thrive in a 3-4?
No, his athletic testing at the combine were pretty much, you know, top of the class. He drops back into coverage, smooth, opens up hips, as flexible hips can open up and drop, get to his landmarks quickly. I have no issues him dropping back and playing a 3-4 outside linebacker position.
Now, what about this fight that he got into? Is that a red flag for us to be concerned about?
It doesn't appear to be. He got into an argument with one of his teammates and got into an altercation, and he broke his orbital bone, so he missed the final 5 games of the season. So not much has been mentioned about it since then. If it is a red flag, it's something that's been kept undercover by the NFL scouts. So, but I mean, he's like I said, he's being projected to go in the bottom half of the first round, early second round. So I don't think it's a red flag as of right now.
Excellent. All right, let's go on to the third round, because I'm hearing the chimes. In the third round, with the 67th overall pick, Danny Shimon chooses.
Cue the booze. Brad Kaya, quarterback, Miami.
Yeah, hold on a second. Cue the booze. There they are. There are a lot of people who are not high on this guy. Tell me why you think he's worthy of being chosen in the third round.
Well, a 3-year starter, started as a freshman at Miami, all right, is the Hurricanes' all-time leading passer with 9,968 passing yards, 22-16 record as a starter, 3-year captain. So he's got the leadership qualities. He's got the height, a solid release with a solid arm strength. He's a solid decision maker. He's nothing over the top, but he is someone that has played in multiple offenses, including a pro-style system, which is very, very big for me when I scout quarterbacks at the college level. He played in a pro-style system last year under Mark Richt. Okay, so what that means, he means he's taken snaps under center. He's gone through a full field progression. So he's read, you know, defensive sideline to sideline, right? He's been exposed to pro-style concepts and sets, which one of the biggest struggles with a lot of these quarterbacks coming in to the NFL from college is playing in these spread systems where they don't huddle, they don't call the plays, they don't go through full field progressions, they don't identify the middle linebacker, you know, and when they're pre-snap and all that stuff. So he has gone through that. Now, is he ready to start next year? No. This is more of a developmental kid who, coming into this season, was being bandied about as one of the top quarterbacks in the draft. You know, he had a okay season. No, not a bad season. He had 27 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, threw for over 3,000 yards. But, you know, he fell into some bad habits, namely struggling with some of his play speed. You know, he's not a mobile passer, so he's more like a pocket quarterback. He took a beating early on in his career behind some of those, you know, Miami offensive lines. And so he's gotten to a point where now he checks down real quick, okay, instead of going more for, you know, holding on to the ball a bit longer, letting a pattern, right, receiver run his pattern or his route and letting a play develop. He'll check down real quick. He does tend to kind of, you know, anticipate a hit and kind of curl in. So he's got some mental stages to go through as an NFL quarterback, but he's got, like I said, he's got the pedigree. He's been a starter. He's got the experience. He's got the, you know, the height, the arm strength, the release, and he's got the pro offense system experience.
Yeah. You know, I find that quarterbacks who have had protection problems, those are the guys who have accuracy issues. And that seems to be one of the bigger knocks on Brad Kaya, is his accuracy. OptimumScouting.com has his, what they call true accuracy. They kind of account for balls that could have been caught, not caught, and so forth. They say that his true accuracy is at 62.53%, which is near the bottom of the top quarterbacks coming out in the draft. To give you an example, they actually have Mitchell Trubisky rated the highest at 70.85% and Davis Webb at the lowest at 60%, and Brad Kaya is at 62.5%. So accuracy is a little bit of an issue, and has always been for me as a Bears fan, just going back to Cade McNown, who I thought was probably the most inaccurate quarterback that I recall seeing in a Chicago Bears uniform, other than maybe Bobby Douglas. But I loved Bobby Douglas. This is back in the 60s now, because of his he was an incredible physical specimen, and he could throw the ball probably 70 miles an hour. But your concerns about Brad Kaya's accuracy are that this is something that can be worked on, correct?
Yes, I do believe. I believe a lot of it has to do with, like I said, being unsettled in the pocket, not striding fully into his throwing motion, checking down real quick, not at times not going through his progressions, trying to get rid of the ball real quick. So he does struggle in terms of trying to get the ball deep down the field. In terms of accuracy, the ball flutter, it could be off target a little bit. But in terms of like throwing the intermediate routes, like he's real accurate on his back shoulder throws, very accurate in throwing the fade in the corner of the end zone. So, like I said, he's a developmental prospect. He's not someone that's going to come in and start next year. Obviously, the Bears probably won't need him to come in and start next year. But it's someone that they can sit back and develop. And going through these quarterbacks, you know, from the Deshaun Watsons to the Kaias to the Dobbs to all these kids, none of them are really ready to come in and start next year. So all of them have something to improve on. You know, Kaya will, like I said, improve on his accuracy, and needs to improve on his put on some weight, and improve on some of on his pocket presence. But definitely someone that I would not mind just, you know, taking in as a developmental prospect and just working on him and having him hopefully develop into a future starter.
And just one last note on him. Ian Wharton, who was a guest on this show about 2 weeks ago, wrote that that Kaya takes care of the ball well. He boasts a high touchdown interception ratio. He's not the type to cost you games. And so that's definitely a good thing, particularly with a coach like John Fox, who likes quarterbacks to be error-free or defect-free. All right, let's move on. Wrong sound effect.
I have to make the pick first, then I get booed, right?
There you go. That's the one we're looking for. All right, so we're into the fourth round now with the 111th pick. Danny, who do you got going to the Bears?
Deion Dawkins, offensive tackle/guard, Temple.
Now, here's a really interesting name, because this guy, you talk about some red flags off the field. He's got some, but he's also has got everybody's attention, and he's somebody that might not be available in the fourth round based on some reports that I've heard. What's your scouting report on Deion Dawkins?
Right. He impressed me at the Senior Bowl, and he was coached by the Bears at the Senior Bowl. So John Fox, offensive line coach Jeremiah Washburn, got their hands on him. And he's a three-year starter at left tackle. As a freshman, he started games at both left tackle and right tackle. He's got good size with outstanding arm length. He's got 35-inch arms. He's got strength to move the defenders off the line of scrimmage. He fires his hands, uncoils his hips to generate power, and keeps his feet driving. What I love about my offensive linemen, and this guy has it, he plays with a mean streak. He finishes his blocks, especially in a run game. Dawkins will bury a defender when he has a chance. And that's something that I love seeing in offensive linemen. He plays with good balance. He's got a good, got a good core strength to be able to sink his hips and anchor versus bull rushes. He's not, again, he's a someone that right now played left tackle in college. I project him more as probably a right tackle, or worst case scenario, inside a guard. But he's someone that, right now the Bears are pretty thin at tackle. So he's someone that I could start off, give him a chance and see if he can develop as a left tackle. If he doesn't, worst case scenario, I can kick him inside the guard, and I have another offensive guard that, that I could eventually, groom and start.
Now, what do you know about his off the field issues?
I know there was a off-the-field incident that included Hassan Reddick, which is the Temple linebacker that is flying up draft boards as well. He wasn't suspended. Charges were not filed. So I think it was like a fight at a bar or something like that, is from what I could gather.
Yeah, the accounts I've read about him is that he's a good kid. He grew up in a really rough part of New Jersey, but he did have that incident outside a Philadelphia nightclub, and he was ended up being put on a rehabilitation program, no charges on his record. And it seems to have been a singular incident. He's very well respected by his teammates and his offensive coordinator, Glenn Thomas, who had this to say about Dawkins.
I've actually met with him. I met with him last year, just telling him, hey, you really got a chance to be somebody special, because what you can do, your size, your athleticism, you're going to pique a lot of interest at the next level. So it's been good to see him. He's come a long way since when we first got here, both on and off the field. And he's one of the leaders of our offense, and he's done really a nice job, and he's a cornerstone of what we're doing.
And so, like you said, Danny, if he keeps that mean streak on the field, this guy could be a fine for the Bears.
Yeah, he is, like I said, he likes to finish off his blocks, plays with the mean streak, and that's something that I look for and I love in offensive linemen. Yeah, my only concern with him as a left tackle was he does show some tightness in his hips and his ankles, so I'm not sure how he could handle speed at the NFL level outside on the island by himself. So that's why I'm thinking of moving over to the right side, where you see, not less speed rushers, but still you got some fast boys coming over there as well. So worst case scenario, if he doesn't pan out at either tackle side, kick him inside the guard.
All right, the Bears have two picks in the fourth round. This one is the 117th pick. Danny, who do you got going to the Bears?
Jordan Leggett, tight end, Clemson.
Bama brings some heat. Watson delivers. Catch made down inside the 10 by Leggett. 14 seconds to go.
Now Clemson will use one of their timeouts here. Dabo all the way down to the 10-yard line. What an effort, Chris, by Jordan Leggett. Full extension. Redeeming himself for earlier the miscommunication with Deshaun Watson. Fully extended, makes that catch and shows you for a tight end how athletic he is.
He's a clutch performer. One of the things I've jotted down about him, he makes big time plays down and end of the game. Not only in the Alabama game, he also hit the go ahead score versus FSU and Louisville. So he's a big target at 6'5", 258 pounds, 33.5-inch arms, big hands, 10 3/8 hands. So he's got a 33-inch vertical, so he's pretty good athlete. Like I said, he can go ahead and he's got some good quickness off the line of scrimmage. He's not the biggest in terms of blocking, and you know, as in line blocking, he'll line up as a Y at times, but he mostly is going to be used as a stretch or a move tight end, they call, where he's going to line up in the slot. He did line up some as an H-back and at Clemson, so he'll be a move tight end. They'll move him around the formation, but he is like I said, a big target, a big catch radius, good hands, comes up clutch down the stretch of games. I do like him a lot.
The one thing, and this is the folks over at LindyScouting.com, they said that he sometimes gets a little lazy and earned the nickname Lazy Leggett. So sometimes he needs a kick in the pants to, particularly when it comes down to doing the blocking. Sometimes his technique gets a little lazy. So that's one thing to keep an eye on with Leggett.
There is, you know, like I said, when he's lined up as an inline blocker, he does, you know, not move his feet at times. He does get, you know, bullied back into the offensive backfield. And then there's a couple times on tape where he kind of stopped running the route. But when he's on, he's a dynamic, you know, pass catcher at the tight end position. Tight end is an area I think the Bears will have to address in this draft. And I think someone like Leggett in the fourth round is very good value.
So you've got a tight end going in the fourth round with the second pick. Let's see who you've got coming up in the fifth round with the 147th pick. Go ahead, Danny.
Mac Hollins, wide receiver, North Carolina.
The fade to the far corner of the end zone. Hollins tipped it in the air and then came down with it for a touchdown. The pass interference is on Deontay Austin of Wake. And so Hollins with the highlight reel touchdown is second of the day. And so
all you have to do is when you look at the Mitch Trubisky tape, you see number 13 catching all those balls downfield. Mm-hmm. That's Mac Hollins. So this kid is walked on to the football team back in 2012, and he worked his way up the depth chart basically on special teams. He's a four-year captain on special teams, and he's a four-phase special teams player. He is one of the better special teams players in the draft. But he's not as developed as a receiver, but what he possesses is size at 6'4", 221 pounds, 33 and a quarter inch arms. He plays with a confidence and a swagger that infects teammates. He's like the vocal leader of that team at North Carolina. He was looked upon as one of the team leaders. He's a big target, tall frame, like I said, long arms, has a big catch radius, will go up and make a high point catches and contested, you know, in the crowd, down the field. You know, he's got good speed, not a burner, but he's a long strider, so he eats up the cornerback's cushion real quick, and next thing you know, he's got the cornerback stacked and he's got over the top leverage on him. He'll come in and he'll make an immediate impact on special teams. So this kid will, you know, he might not be starting a receiver next year, but he'll be on your special teams unit. And in the fifth round, this is where you got to look for guys with traits, speed, you know, just make an impact on special teams. And this is one kid that can come in and, you know, as a developmental prospect with the, you know, size, speed, you know, ratio, that could turn into an eventual day three gem.
Yeah, I like this pick because of those qualities that you just mentioned. I also read that while he was in high school, he owned a python and boa.
Yeah, I saw that.
And it was it's a hobby that most college football players wouldn't consider. And then he said no to a lot of smaller schools because he wanted to play at a big school, and was a walk-on, as you mentioned, at North Carolina. And yep, just worked his way up to getting a scholarship. So this guy has confidence in himself and is a very hard worker. He's got some really good qualities about him.
Yeah, some of the knocks you'll hear about him is he wasn't a full time starter. All right, his route running is not sharp. Again, he's a developmental prospect right now, like a guy who could come in for, you know, two or three snaps or something like that as a rookie. But he does have that big playability. In 2015, he led the nation, averaging 24.8 yards a reception, where, you know, he only finished with 30 receptions, but he had 745 yards. Now, for his career, he has 20 receiving touchdowns. So this kid is a big playmaker. And like I said, if you go back and watch those Trubisky tapes, a lot of times before he got hurt, he broke his collarbone versus Miami. But before he got hurt, he was making a lot of plays downfield for Trubisky.
Well, he would make a fascinating pick, and yeah, he could help out on special teams almost immediately, given his pedigree. So good pick there. All right, let's move on to the seventh round. You know, I started to do some research on who the Bears have selected recently in the seventh round just to see where they've had hits or misses. Well, last year, of course, it was Daniel Braverman, and we still haven't really found out if he's going to make it in the NFL. Hopefully he does. And then they didn't have a pick 2 years ago. And then 3 years ago, it was Charles Leno Jr. So hopefully they find success this year. Who do you have for the Bears with the 221st pick in the seventh round?
Isaac Rochelle, defensive lineman, Notre Dame.
Big guy. Tell us about him.
Like I said, a big guy. 6'4", 280 pounds, strong. Strong at the, you know, as a power player, strong in, at the point of contact, can bully offensive linemen back into the quarterback, can take on double teams, is good at locating the football, so shows some good instincts. A team captain, 3-year starter, not much of a pass rusher. He's more of a solid run stuffer, a guy who can develop possibly into a better pass rusher in the pros. He's got some good quickness for a guy who's, you know, who's, you know, 280 pounds, but, you know, the big knock on him right now is he's not a pass rusher. That's why I see him dropping down into the seventh round. He actually had some pretty good showings over at the Senior Bowl in those one-on-one drills. He was just rocking offensive linemen back on their heels. So again, a power player, big guy who, you know, as a seventh round pick could come in and probably be a rotational defensive lineman, probably as a five technique, can play nose guard as well. So he's a guy who will give him some options, a quality backup, quality depth, basically.
Yeah, the folks over at NFL.com said that he's an effort rusher with dull, predictable approach at times. So he needs to develop some pass rushing moves, as you just stated. But I also looked at some tape of him just to get kind of a feel for his character. And boy, he's a very impressive young man. And so this guy, if he does make it to the Chicago Bears, Danny, I think he could become a leader in the locker room.
Yeah, like I said, he'll initially be a depth player, a guy who can, you know, because the Bears lost Cornelius Washington this offseason. So a guy who can maybe replace him, you know, as a guy who can rotational defensive end, five technique, possibly even, you know, spell Eddie Goldman, maybe for a couple of snaps at nose tackle. So, yeah, it's definitely a guy who has some upside, needs to improve as far as a pass rusher, but definitely very, very good up front in terms of a run defender.
How would you grade Ryan Pace's two drafts so far as in his tenure with the Chicago Bears?
Right now, I'd say probably a B to B minus. The first draft, we're still kind of waiting. Not sure, you know, Eddie Goldman hasn't been consistent, got some injuries. Kevin White obviously has got the injuries. And then last year obviously was, in my opinion, a very good draft. But the one key that I'm looking at is last year they had Joe Douglas, who now has moved on to the Philadelphia Eagles. And I think that was a very big loss for the Bears, and under the radar, big loss for the Bears. So I like to see how Pace does in this draft. Equipped with very high picks in each round, see how he manipulates those picks possibly into more picks and goes ahead and really solidifies not only the depth of the team overall, but also the talent level on this roster. This is the draft I think Pace can really shine in. Like I said, he's got those high picks in each round. You know, if he doesn't trade down from the third pick, he certainly will have multiple offers for that second round pick, and he can definitely turn that into an extra third, an extra fourth, possibly even, you know, extra picks in the next year's draft. So this is a very important draft for Ryan Pace, suffice to say. But as far as me grading him overall as a drafter or talent evaluator, right now I'd say it's a B, B minus, mainly because of that first draft, and we're still waiting to see how that turns out. But if Kevin White hits, you know, if Eddie Goldman stays healthy and can be a consistent player, they've got a solid foundation growing, and like that front seven right now is looking really good for Chicago. They just need health. Yeah. You know, and you had a couple playmakers, a couple more athletes in this draft, a draft, by the way, that's loaded with defensive depth. Mm-hmm. I think the Bears can really take a step up next year on defense especially.
And they need Jeremy Langford to step up too. This would be his third season in the NFL, and while we've certainly Pace found a starter in Jordan Howard, it would be fantastic if Langford can become the lightning to Howard's thunder and really pay off. Then all of a sudden, that draft grade, which you said was a B-minus, I agree with, all of a sudden becomes a B-plus or A-minus if Langford can turn things around. One other question before I let you go. What do you think about Dowell Loggins as a coach who can develop a quarterback like Brad Kaya? Do you have confidence in Loggins?
I do not. How much time do we have? Because I can this could be something where I get up my soapbox and I can keep going on here. I don't know.
Go on.
Why.
Go on the soapbox. go for it.
let's first of all, I'm going to give him credit. I mean, last year was a tough situation for him. He lost Cutler. Put in Hoyer. Played decent, and then lost him, and then put in Barkley, who played okay. At least the quarterbacks were prepared last year. I have no confidence in him going forward as far as a offensive play caller, offensive play designer. I mean, there's no reason why last year there are games where Jordan Howard only had 12 to 15 carries. That kid deserved to have 20 to 25 carries a game. And you lost your starting quarterbacks. You run the ball until they prove they can stop him, or they can stop you from running the ball. So do I have questions about Dowell Loggins developing quarterbacks? I do. Do I think Dowell Loggins will be the one to develop Brad Kaya eventually? I do not. I think Dowell Loggins, if the offense does not perform up to standards or up to par this year, I think Dowell Loggins will no longer be offensive coordinator for the Chicago Bears.
Would you be upset if the Bears did not draft a quarterback this season?
Would I be upset? No, I would not be upset. And the reason why is this, because this draft is loaded with, like I said, defensive talent, some offensive talent as well. The Bears have so many holes on their roster that they need to fill, that if they happen to not be in position to get a quarterback that they like, that they can develop, then there's no reason just to draft a quarterback. Okay, and I know fans are crying for a quarterback. They want a developmental quarterback. That's fine. And I agree. We need one. My top quarterback is Deshaun Watson. That's who. If the Bears are going to draft a quarterback, that's who I like to see them get in here and develop. However, if they cannot maneuver and get down and get Deshaun Watson, or come back up into the first round and get Deshaun Watson, if they skip by Kaiser or Trubisky, and they don't get to the kid from Cal, Davis Webb, or Kaya, or even Josh Dobbs, believe it or not, is rising up draft board right now. If they can any of those developmental prospects, and if they want to wait another year, I will not be upset with them, because depending on what they did, depending when I mean what they did mean who else they drafted in those slots. Right. So if they get a starting cornerback in the second round, or another, or a linebacker in the third round, or whatnot, instead of a quarterback, and that player develops into a starter, then I'm okay with that. But if you get someone that gets cut in a year from now, and you don't pick a Deshaun Kaiser in the second round or someone like that, that's something you can come back and be like, all right, they missed on a guy here and there, but not. But to answer your question, if they don't draft a quarterback in this draft, I will not be upset.
Well, I'm with you. There's just so much talent out there that can be of an immediate help to this team. And while, I don't like the fact that Ryan Pace has not drafted a quarterback in his first two drafts, there's just something about this one particular draft that I'm willing to give him a pass if he doesn't select one this year. Next season projects to be a good draft for quarterbacks. We'll see if that's truly the case.
But yeah, they said the same thing about this year's draft last year. They said this year was the year to draft the quarterback because Deshaun Watson was coming out, because Deshaun Kaiser was going to come out, because Brad Kaya was going to come out. And so now they're saying next year is going to be the draft. I think Phil's been a proponent of this, and I've been a proponent of this from the beginning as well. There are three first-round quarterbacks on my board that have first-round grades. That's Deshaun Watson, Mitch Trubisky, and Deshaun Kaiser. Everybody else can fall back. You know, I have a fourth round grade, a third or fourth round grade on Patrick Mahomes.
Really?
I have a low second, high third round grade on Davis Webb. Brett Kaya, I have a third round grade on Brett Kaya. So, you know, if you reach and you get one of those quarterbacks in the second round and they develop into a starter, great, you hit a home run. But if you don't and you bypass, you know, an all-pro safety, possibly an all-pro cornerback or someone who develops into a 10 or 15 year starter, just because you wanted a quarterback or because your fan base, you know, wanted you to draft a quarterback, that's not the way to do it. That's not the way to build a team. You got to get talent. The best available player at each pick is how you need to build a franchise, you know, for depth and for talent.
I'm with you on all your points. I don't have Mahomes quite that low. I'm much higher on Mahomes than you are, but I agree with everything.
A lot of people are.
And, you know, the other thing that might be intriguing is, what do you think about Chad Kelly?
Don't like him.
No, not at all, huh?
Don't like him.
Because what I was thinking is that he might fall out of the draft because of his problems. And So if he becomes an undrafted free agent, that would be one of the first calls I think the Bears should make. I would not draft Chad Kelly, but if he and somebody like Antonio Pipkin are undrafted free agents, I would try to sign those guys.
I would take a flyer on Pipkin before I take a flyer on Chad Kelly. I don't like him on or off the field.
Really? What is it on the field that you don't like about Kelly?
He thinks he's better than he really is the way I look at him. He throws the ball into coverage. He tries to zip the ball between three to four defenders. He's got the arm strength, right? But he's just an undisciplined quarterback. To top off his tape with his off the field problems, someone I don't want to take a chance on.
And a quick evaluation on Pipkin?
Picking athletic, a little smaller quarterback. I think he's like 6'1" or 6'2".
Right.
Strong arm, like I said, athletic, mobile. Comes from a small school, so he's guy who's gonna, you know, there's gonna be a transition period for him to go through as well. He'll need to be coached up as well. But he's a guy that you can bring in and, like I said, put him in a quarterback room with hopefully a veteran. Someone who can take him under his wing and kind of show him the ins and outs of the NFL and hopefully a good, you know, quarterbacks coach that can coach him up and that's someone that, you know, you can take a flyer on for sure, no problem.
He is Danny Shimon, scouting assistant for InsideTheLeague.com, NFL draft columnist for National Football Post, and he helps us with our scouting at BearsBarRoom.com. Like I mentioned earlier, he has given us exclusive scouting reports on Jamal Adams, Solomon Thomas, and Jonathan Allen, and how they can fit inside the Chicago Bears scheme. You can find those at the main page of BearsBarRoom.com. Danny, thanks a lot for being on the show. Want to have you on more frequently, because it's a lot of fun talking football with you.
Thank you for having me. It was fun being on with the great Aldo Gandia.
Thank you very much. And again, you can find Danny at DSHIMON56 on Twitter. Thanks very much for listening, folks. This is Aldo Gandia for Bears Barroom Radio. And remember, if you drink, don't drive, and always bear down.